Hi, this is the Zag Band.
And you're listening to the Zip & Co. podcast show. Listen out for a clip from our forthcoming album later in the show.
Hi, this is show 23 of the Zip & Co. podcast from Weymouth, Dorset, UK. Yes, finally I've finally managed to get the thing off the ground. Married life and a job and so forth have kept me away from doing it for a while, but now I am back. You can contact the show through my Facebook page. You can also contact me through Instagram now. I'm on that photo sharing. I'm on MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, and a lot of other social networks. So if you want to find out more, go to my show notes at www.zip, that's ZZIPP.podomatic.com. On the show, we've got an exclusive interview with the Zach Band, who you heard introducing the show right at the very start. We've got more PodSafe music from the PodSafe Music Network, which is now musicalley.com. And we've got all kinds of other stuff, so stick around and see what happens. Okay, let's have the first tune, shall we?
Across the county line, Highway 23, where the moss hangs lazy from the live oak trees, Doyle's under the Camaro, it's up on blocks. There's a mountain of junk from the house to the barn. He works next door at the alligator farm, but there's a whole lot of nothing going on. He's got a couple days off. And there's a bleach blonde chain smoker on the other side. Loretta sells Mary Kay from a pink double wide. She got a poodle Henri. He barks in French. She's a peacock strutting through the waist-high yard. Sparkle flip-flop stop at the edge of the car. Doyle says, honey, would you hand me that Crescent Ranch? She says, I'm getting a lawyer to make you clean this mess. Doyle says, everybody needs a hobby, I guess. And a good day goes from bad to worse. Henri bites him hard on the hand. Doyle smacks his head on the oil pan. And then he crawls out from under and he starts to curse. He says, if your little mutt lifts a leg on my Harley one more time, he's gonna meet Big Charlie, 12 feet long, claws, teeth, and tail. She said, Doyle, you're mean as mean can be, and if anything ever happens to my little Henri, you can bet your ass I have you thrown in jail. Yeah. Well, Henri turns up missing 2 days later. Loretta's convinced it's an alligator, and she's shouting at Doyle, you murdering SOB! He said, I was gone all day out riding my hog. I ain't done nothing to you, stupid little dog. Calm down, Loretta. Let's go have a look-see. They look around the house and behind the barn, through the spiderweb woods and the alligator farm. There's a big fat snake slithering into the pond. Loretta looks down and she starts to holler. On the ground there's a little pink rhinestone collar. She trembles and cries, my little Henri's gone. She starts slapping Doyle. She kicks him in the shin. They're slipping in the mud and then they both fall in. And there's alligators everywhere, eye and easy prey. And then a scaly tail scrapes her back. Loretta shrieks like a train on a rusty track. And Big Charlie and his buddies freak out and swim away. Yeah. They crawl up on the bank on their hands and knees, barely catch their breath, something sneaking through the weeds. Loretta screams again and Henri comes out yapping. Well, she's so happy, she says, Doyle, come and hug me. He said, you ain't too smart, but at least you ain't ugly. Let's get out of here, Loretta, before something else happens. Well, back at the house, Loretta lights a smoke. Doyle pops a beer, cracks a couple of jokes. He says, I guess Big Charlie doesn't like poodle fluff. And then they hose up the mud and they soak each other. They're laughing and one thing leads to another. Henri starts barking at the kissing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah! Whoa! Woo. Well, the years have gone by, a few things have changed. The Camaro's still there, but the junk's rearranging. There's a pink double wide parked beside the barn. In a lawn chair having a Mary Kay sale, Loretta's painting pink polish on Henri's nails, and Doyle's working next door at the alligator farm. Big Charlie says, hey.
Nope, I won't do it. I don't care if it's just a trailer for our podcast. It is advertising and I'm not getting involved. Are you calling me a pervert? Oh, sorry, you just said perverse. Still, that's not very nice. Do you remember what Bill Hicks said about advertising?
By the way, if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
There you go. That's what I think. I'm not taking part. I'm not going to sit here and say, why not download the Dorchester Online Radio Company podcast, a compilation of the week's best bits from Dorset's premier local broadcaster, available on our website, www.dorchesteronlineradiocompany.org, or through iTunes, just search DORC, oh, and on Tumblr. And Facebook. The DORC podcast. Worst things happen at sea, you know. I will not do it. I will not sell out like that.
The next spot is something I call Charity Chat. I go around Weymouth looking for small local charities and actually have a chat to the people involved. So, this is a chat with Andrew Court from the Rethink Mental Illness Charity. So, here's Charity Chat.
This is Charity Chat, where Zip talks to local charities. Simple, really.
My name's Andrew Court. I'm a service lead for Rethink Mental Illness, and we're sat in the 3R Cycles workshop on the Granby Industrial Estate in Weymouth.
Right, and what do you actually do here?
We get donated bikes from the police and from members of the public. We then give them a complete assessment and then go to look what needs replacing to enable us to sell the cycles. We also offer servicing on cycles, and also we can do modifications on anybody's bike as well.
Right, so it's helping with the greenhouse effect.
Yeah, that's part and parcel of it.
Green ideas.
Yeah, it's because we've got all the new cycle lanes around town with the Olympics. You've got good links between Weymouth and Portland with the Rodwell Trail and other cycle lanes. And also because money's getting tight, so people want cheaper ways to be able to travel around.
Yeah. And you say you're sort of affiliated with a charity.
Yes. I'm a service lead for Rethink Mental Illness. One of the largest mental health charities in the country. We supply all different types of services, all mental health throughout the country, although we do some that deal with people with learning disabilities and also with offenders as well.
Right. Has the charity got a website?
Yes, www.rethink.org is the main charity.
Okay. And when did you open this?
I got the keys on the 1st of June. I then started ordering equipment and such like with the grants that I've got. I think we probably opened in the third or fourth week of July, I think.
Right, and you mentioned about grants. Who did you get grants off?
We got one off Weymouth and Portland Borough Council for the Communities for Health.
Right.
We got one off Dorset County Council for accessibility grants, because it's push bikes, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But also we got two grants from Synergy, one from Weymouth and one from the East. I can't remember exactly where it was in the East, but that was £4,000 worth as well. So we ended up with about £8,000 worth. And then DJ Properties, who own basically all the Granby, he's given us about £150 a month towards the rent as well. So
right.
It's come along quite well.
And people are really turning up with the bicycles.
Yeah, we've had, I wouldn't like to say how many bikes we've had in, but I was just looking through my receipts book, and I see I've got 26 receipts there from either services and sold bikes. So we're not doing bad, but we need to do a bit better, really.
Okay, can you actually describe to people how to get here?
Right, okay, so we're on the Granby Industrial Estate, and I think most people would know the petrol station that's just about opposite Jewson's. Right. Now, if you come in from the Chickrell end past the Marquis of Granby pub, you'll come to the petrol station on your left, and just exactly right before it, there's a left-hand turn in. So if you go up there, and then about 50 to 100 yards on your right, you'll see Boisey Windows, which is opposite Eagle Plant and Hire. And then we're actually at the side of Boisey Windows through a set of double steel gates.
Right. And I noticed you sell bikes here. What sort of price range have you got? I know you've got children's ones as well.
Yeah, children start for about 20, adults generally around 25, and the dearest bikes you've had have been £100. Which is more or less a brand new bike. It's never been ridden on the road.
Right, okay. As I say, I will add the link to the website on my show notes, and people can listen to the interview and go to the website.
Fantastic.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
This is Charity Chat, where Zip talks to local charities. Simple, really.
If you know of any other small charities who would like to be included on Charity Chat, let me know. I'll do the rest. So, next piece of music. Let me see. Oh yes, it could be this.
back home. Oh, I just can't live without you. Baby, please come back home. Girl, I just can't live without you. Mama, please come back home. Just can't live without you. Baby, please come back home.
That was Billy Jones with Blues Come Calling from the album My Hometown. It's available on the Podsafe Music Network. You can find links to all the music included in this show on my show notes at www.zipzzipp.podomatic.com. Recently I did an interview with a local band who were just starting up called the Zag Band down at a local pub. So I'll play you that interview right now. It's got all the contact details on the interview. And thanks to the Zag Band. Okay, here's the interview. Hello. Today I'm at the Waverley Pub in Weymouth, Dorset, and I'm talking to members of the Zag Band.
Hi, I'm Zola. I'm lyricist and lead vocalist.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm keyboard player and a producer of the album.
I'm standing in for the other Andy, who is the lead guitarist with the band and lyricist. And I am George. I play bass, rhythm guitar and also lyricist.
Okay. The name of the band's unusual. That's because it's composed of all your initials, I guess.
Yes,
is it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. How many members? One, two, three, four, five.
We have four permanent members, plus we have a guest vocalist that comes in when we need that for any particular song.
Right.
Four permanent members of the band.
And how did you get together?
We just knew each other as friends before, and the band came about because we would spend our time sitting at the bar coming up with song titles or lyrics, and we just decided we might as well do something with this. So.
So it was like a that party game, I guess, that I said
yeah,
before.
Yeah, we take turns writing a line or a verse or whatever in the song, pass it on to the next person, and nobody knew what anybody else was going to come up with until we saw the end of the song.
So we had a basic idea of what the song would be about, but we never actually knew how it would go until it was completely finished, like you said, Andy.
Yes.
Right. I know you based some music around a London club. What club was that and how did it come about?
Right, the club is called The Griffin in Clerkenwell Road in London. The basis of that part of the album was very much based here in Waverley. Again, it was based on a throwaway comment made by one of the people who come in here to drink. And one comment that he made to me when I was having a chat with him sparked that whole idea about doing a half of an album based on that particular club in London.
Right. Where did you record the album? Did you record it here in the pub?
We recorded it entirely in the pub, yeah.
Entirely in the pub. Who did the production?
I did all the production, but I did that separately in my own studio.
Right. What style would you say the music is?
Well, there's not really a single style. It's a bit of everything, really. Whatever we felt the song deserved to be at the time. We've done some reggae, haven't we? We've done...
We've done some blues, some piano ballads, some rockers, some rock and roll. Just a complete mixture that the style will depend on the lyric that we write.
Right.
So that the
there are characters in this pub that we wrote, you know, that influenced the songs we wrote. And so we've sort of fitted the music to the character in the pub.
Yes, and while none of the songs are specifically about people, it's definitely been inspired by people that we know day to day that come in here for a drink.
situations and different things that have happened, funny events, and we've just decided to start writing about it, didn't we?
Or even writing in song.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Or even, you know, anecdotes that people have said to any of us. You know, something sort of sticks in the brain. You think, well, that would make an interesting idea for a song.
How long did it take to make the album?
Right, we started writing it probably 2 years ago, perhaps.
Right.
And
yeah,
the writing's been a fairly, you know, sort of slow, I wouldn't say slow process, but we will do a bit, come back to it. But the actual recording itself has been done in 4 sessions from August last year through to now, when we're just completing the album. In terms of the number of days it's taken, perhaps about a month's worth of effort to do.
Right, and you said you're not going to do a video for the moment.
Not for the moment, no. Well, I'd say we're all pretty much too ugly for that at the moment.
No argument with that.
No
argument. Not for me.
So
no, I don't think a video would be worth doing at the moment. Perhaps in the future.
Yeah.
More stuff to do.
Our first album's more of a bit of fun, isn't it? You know, just...
Like a tryout, is it?
Like a tryout, yes.
Yeah. Do you have anywhere that people can go and hear or buy the album?
Yes, they can. We have agreement from the staff here at the Waverley, who have been so supportive for us, I have to say, that they will stock the album once it's finally produced.
Right.
And I'm also in discussions with the club up in London as well, but I don't know the answer to that yet.
Sure, sure. You say you're not going to tour with the album because it's just a tryout at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah?
We're having a bit of fun.
The fact that there are only really 12 songs in total, and it's not enough to tour with. Maybe in the future, when we've done a third album or something, enough material to tour with.
Yes.
Then we'll look at it.
Yes. I mean, we do have a backlog of material that we can record, so we are working on the second album at the moment.
Right.
In conjunction with polishing off the first one. So the material will be there eventually, and once we have a body of work where it may be worth doing, then that's when we'll contemplate perhaps touring.
Do you have a website or Facebook or MySpace or something that people can contact the band on?
Right, we don't have a Facebook page at the moment, but that's something we'll be setting up very soon.
Right.
However, if people want to get in touch with us, they can get us via email at thezagband@hotmail.co.uk.
So Zagband, Z-A-G...
Z-A...
Yeah, the Z-A-A-G band. All one word, all lowercase.
Okay, that's great. So you said you've got a piece of music that you'd like me to include.
That's right, yeah. We've done a song called Band on Radio 1.
Right.
There are 2 versions of it. You're going to get the cleaner version. There is also an explicit lyric version. So, you know, we won't take the risk of giving you the explicit lyric version. The song called Band on Radio 1 is a bit of fun when we thought about, you know, women that we'd like to do certain things with.
Right. Okay. We'll see how that goes on the show.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the interview.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you, Pete.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks.
I was pushing my grocery trolley around Walmart the other day when I had a head-on collision with a girl coming the other way. After the usual excuse me, I looked up to see who she was. Anyway, my knees nearly both gave way, and it was all because trouble.
That was a track called Band on Radio 1 by the Zag Band. If you want to contact them, I'll include an email They haven't got a website or anything as yet, as they said in the interview, but I'll include an email address that you can contact them, or you can contact me and I will get a message to them for you and they'll get straight back to you. During the summer, I did an interview with a racing team coordinator here. Down in Weymouth, it's an incredibly safe beach and incredibly good waters for sailing, because we've got the Olympic sailing coming this year. We also had the Thundercats racing, inflatable boats. And I actually did an interview with the organiser. So here's the interview. I take you now to Weymouth Beach on a beautiful, beautiful, warm, sunny day.
My name's Fiona Pascoe.
And you are involved with the event today.
Yes, I'm the event organiser for Thundercat Racing UK, which is part of a global organisation.
Right, and we are sat on the beach in Weymouth today on a beautiful morning. Could you tell my listeners about the event that's happening here today?
Yes, it's Thundercat Racing, which is a 4-metre inflatable catamaran with 50 horsepower outboard tiller controlled. What it is, we're doing a course which is about 550 metres by 400 metres right off the beach of sunny Weymouth. As you can see, it's a beautiful sunny day. A sandy beach and a wonderful atmosphere. The crowds are starting to pick up now, and we're getting ready. We're just done the briefing, which means everybody's informed of safety courses, making sure that the rules and regulations are all understood. The safety boats are now getting ready on the water for a wonderful day's racing.
And you're down here every year.
We didn't come last year, unfortunately, but we're back again this year and hope to carry on again. But sometimes tides and different things, you can't get back to the same venue every year. But we love Weymouth. Weymouth is one of our special ones.
It's an incredibly safe water, really, because it's very shallow a long way out, isn't it?
Well, it is, and also it's a very sheltered area. With us, we actually do three disciplines. One is surf, which clearly we need lots of big waves. Secondly is the circuit racing, which we're doing here. And with the bay, it's very, very sheltered. You know, to be honest, it's like being on a lake.
Yes.
And that's what's good about Weymouth. We know what we're actually coming to, and for some unknown reason, every time we come here, it's always sunny. Even though there was rain yesterday or last night, as soon as we start racing, the sun comes out and shines on us.
Yeah, and it's great action to watch, isn't it?
Very. Well, I think what's good about it, compared to other types of powerboat racing that can go off 100, 200 miles off land and you can't see it, with us it's completely off the beach.
Yeah, yeah. I know I've seen it in previous years and it's really exciting to watch.
Well, I think it is. Normally we come in October when the 200-metre swimming barrier is actually taken away. But unfortunately, in September, it's still there. So we're 200 metres off the beach. You'll actually see us racing from the beach because we've got a channel out. But at the end of the pier, you'll be able to see the boats about 15 metres away from you. So it's action right in front of you.
And it's great for photographers, action photographers who like...
Oh, very good for that. You know, and you always find some of the boats with photographers on as well. And, you know, I think it's very good because it's family orientated. Even our community, you know, we've got the children come down, the grannies, the mothers, the aunties, the husbands. Some of them are mechanics and they end up in part of the team. So there's no one excluded. Even got the dogs.
Even the dogs. And you get races from all over England?
All over the world.
All over the world.
In Thundercats UK at the present moment, it originated from South Africa.
Right.
And what we've actually got is some of the South Africans who've actually now become residents in the UK, and we have Australia, New Zealand, the French. What they do is if they become residents, they like to carry on their sport, a bit like playing golf all around the world. And what happens is because we are a global sport, they come and join in, become residents of the UK, and then race under British colours. So next year, we're running the World Championships in the UK, and we'll actually have South Africans racing under the British flag, which will be quite amusing because they'll be racing against their best friends.
So where will the Championships be held?
We're keeping our fingers crossed, we would love to have it on the South Coast, could be Weymouth. We have to use three venues, as I said, Surf, right. Circuit and Long Haul, which is along the coast. But unless we can get the funding from the South Coast, which is very, very difficult, we will end up in Wales, and the event will be in Swansea and Cardiff and along the, you know, along the coast there. So being a Southampton girl and our family coming along the coast, we would like it, you know, along the south, but if we don't get the funding, unfortunately, that's life, isn't it, nowadays? It's all tight with the money.
That's right. So you'll be racing here on Saturday, today and tomorrow.
That's correct. We're going to be starting racing in about 15 minutes. Right. We'll be racing today, being Saturday, till about 1:30, 2 o'clock. Right. And tomorrow, we're going to be racing till about 2 o'clock again. So it'll be 10:30 to 2:30.
Right, and you'll be down next year.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Wow, hopefully. You've got the Olympics here. It's whether or not you'll be able to fit us in.
Sure.
You know, everything's happening in Weymouth next year.
That's right. And is there a website that people can contact you at and see what you do?
Yes, if you go to www.thundercatracing.co.uk, and we'd love to have you, and you know, click on and ask for more information, and we'll send you, you know, when we're next coming back to Weymouth.
That'd be wonderful. Great, thanks for the interview.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
March 14th is National Potato Chip Day.
Yes, in honour of National Chip Day on the 14th of March, here are some really, really interesting facts about potato chips. Potato chips date back to 1853. An unhappy customer at a restaurant in Saratoga Springs, New York, kept returning his fried potatoes to the chef, requesting they be prepared much thinner. The chef sliced them so thin that they could not be eaten with a fork. Thus was born the potato chip. It wasn't until the early 20th century that potato chips expanded from restaurant food and started selling in bags. Flavored chips were born in the 1950s, by a small independent manufacturer who then sold the concept to the larger corporations. As junk food goes, potato chips contain only three ingredients, potatoes, oil and salt, and are considered by some nutritionists the lesser of savoury evils. Potato chip sales are over $15 billion a year worldwide. They tally up to about one-third of all savoury snacks. A single serving of potato chips, 1 ounce, contains only 150 calories, 10 grams of fat, and 180 milligrams of salt. There's less than 10% of the daily calories of most people, mostly about 15% of the fat, and 8% of the maximum sodium intake. One of the most popular flavoured potato chip varieties is sour cream and onion. Compared to just three ingredients in the original version, this one has 20 ingredients, including MSG, palm oil, and artificial colouring.
National Potato Chip Day, exclusive chip facts from the Zip & Co. podcast.
For potato anthem,
anthem.
Would you rather be a French fry?
A French fry?
No. Peeled and chopped and battered with a smile. Can you guys give me a smile? Would you choose to be perhaps a mashed potato?
A mashed potato?
Mashed and buttered and mashed like it was going out of style. Out of style, but I think I speak for potatoes all around this world. I do. We think we'd be better left in fields and singing songs. You could feature me as a bread or as a pancake.
As a pancake?
Luck is true.
They do taste great. They do taste great. You could boil or broil, you could shake or bake, you could salad meat, or for goodness sake, you could take a break and listen to me for a while. Just for a while. But I think I speak for potatoes all around this world of ours. I do. We think we'd be better left in fields and singing songs. In fields and singing songs. We think we'd be better left in fields and singing songs.
Do. Sure do.
That was Adam and the Couch Potatoes from the Podsafe Music Network with their Potato Anthem from the album One Size Fits All. As I say, you can access all the music on this show from my show notes.
At the very core of existence, there is a hub, a convergence of all things, where news, entertainment, and philosophy intersect. A place that can only come to light in a unique way. This is Core New Media, found only at corenewmedia.com.
Core is spelled with a K.
Yes, I know. It is here that you will find Core News, Core Movies, Core Philosophy, Core Groove, Core Commentary.
Commentary is spelled with a C.
And more.
More at Core.
Shut up. Core New Media.
With a K.
.com.
With
a C.
Beat me that time.
Where all things intersect.
Hey, up, it's the News Monkey.
Ah. What? No, you got that for us? Okay, well, let's have a look.
Yes, it's time for News Monkey again, where I take a look at some of the stories from the local media. Some of the ones that puzzle me, some of the ones that interest me. So, here goes with the first one. This is from the Dorset Echo, Wednesday, February 1st, 2012. The headline is, Tricky is looking good after a makeover. The news item goes on to say a popular Dorchester dinosaur has had come home sporting a new look after having a makeover. Tricky, the life-size Triceratops model, has been returned to his rightful place outside the town's dinosaur museum after going off for a facelift from an expert. The model has claimed pride of place in the museum courtyard for over 23 years, and curator Tim Batty decided it was high time Tricky had a touch-up. He said, Tricky is very popular both with our visitors and firm favourite with his many admirers who live in the area and pass the Dinosaur Museum on a regular basis. He badly needed a makeover to bring him in line with current theories on how these magnificent beasts may have originally looked. Mr. Batty added, We made the arrangements for Andrew Jolliffe, an expert in the modelling and reconstruction of dinosaurs, to give Tricky a new image. There was only one problem, how to move Tricky to Andrew's studio. The operation to take Tricky to the studio was carried out by removal experts Pickfords and was captured by a television crew for Channel 5 television programme The Removal Men, with the episode set to be aired in the spring. Now we go on to the News Dorset, at bbc.co.uk Dorset. This headline is Fishermen, Dorset Fishermen Discover Albino Lobster. It goes on to say, A rare albino lobster that could be more than 30 years old has been caught in a lobster pot off the Dorset coast. The two Bridport fishermen who found the crustacean near Portland Bill handed it to Weymouth Sea Life Park. Albinism is caused by a lack of melanin in the skin, which means there is a lack of coloured pigment. Fiona Smith from the park said, There have been only one or two of the albino lobsters found around the UK in the last 20 years or so. Without camouflage, she added, It was incredible this one had not been eaten by a predator such as a shark. Miss Smith also explained that the size of the lobster determines its age. At 40 centimetres, 15.7 inches long, including its claws, she said this animal was pretty big. It could easily be more than 30 years old, she said. Lobsters can grow up to 75 centimetres, 29.5 inches long, and live for up to 50 years. They shed their hard shells as they outgrow them. It will not be known if Santa Claus' condition is temporary until it next molts. The next item comes from the Dorset Echo. That's Tuesday, 13th of March, 2012. The headline is Princess Anne Celebrates Restoration of Osmington White Horse. The item goes on to say, Princess Anne has given the Royal Seal of Approval to the newly restored Osmington White Horse. The Princess Royal graced White Horse Farm in Osmington yesterday to celebrate the monument 204 years after its creation. Residents, volunteers and Dorset police officers waited for almost 3 hours for the royal visitor, who was delayed due to fog. After arriving by helicopter, Princess Anne, wearing a red ensemble, spent around 40 minutes greeting volunteers before she unveiled a plaque. The monument was originally made in tribute to King George III in 1808, who could not return to Weymouth to acknowledge the monument due to illness. The Princess Royal, who has had her own distinguished equestrian background, celebrated the tribute on behalf of a royal relative. She admired the restored monument from Whitehorse Farm, which is situated directly beneath it. When thanked for recognising the restoration project, she said, "It is my pleasure to do so. It is nice to see the horse close up. I've seen it before, but only going past. I expect there will be few sailors out there on the water who will not know who to thank for such a landmark. It is impressive to think that even in a modern age, technology is not the answer. This was sheer hard work." The Princess Royal paid tribute to the fact the restoration had occurred in time for the Olympics sailing events. West Dorset District Councillor Theresa Seal of Owemoyne Ward, where the horse is situated, said the royal visit was fantastic for the community, who appreciated the recognition. Jeff Codd, chairman of the Osmington White Horse Restoration Group, thanked the Princess Royal and all of the groups and individuals from the local community for their support and involvement. He said, "We are delighted that Princess Anne has been able to finally come to see this monument to her great-great-great-great-grandfather and recognise the effort that everyone has put in during this Jubilee year and ahead of the Sailing Olympics, when the monument will be seen around the world. Standing 85 metres long and nearly 100 metres high, the monument has been deteriorating due to weathering and plant growth." The Osmington White Horse Restoration Group was set up in 2009 and, with much help, began work in July 2010. Help came in the aid of a grant from Natural England, technical expertise by Ordnance Survey and English Heritage. Others involved included Dorset County Countryside and the Coastal Ranger Team, the Osmington Society and Friends of the Restoration Project. Research included using oil paintings from the period, old photographs and ordnance survey maps, and the use of the latest GPS and mapping technologies. The plaque will be sited at a viewing area situated along the A353. More than 287 days were given up by volunteers to help restore the Osmington White Horse. Some groups were keen to give Princess Anne a royal welcome. Weymouth East Scouts and Holding Explorers helped to renovate the tail and one of the back legs. Scout Jack Jenkins, 16, said, "It is nice to have appreciation for all our hard work. It is really steep up there, and it was such hard work. I wasn't scared, but we kept sliding down the hill. It was a good, informal and personal way to speak to her. She is very nice and was really interested in what we achieved." Michael Watson, leading air engineering technician LAET for RNAS Yeovilton, said he and his team of volunteers worked on the legs, completing 6 days of volunteering. Around 400 Army cadets nationwide took part in the project, with Dorset Army cadets present at the Royal Unveiling. Sergeant Lauren Weymouth said, "It was really fun, but such hard work. I've never seen anyone from the royal family before. It was really exciting." That's it for News Monkey for this time. If you want to contact the show, use the email and show notes. That's zipshow, ZIPPSHOW, at gmail.com, to send any interesting stories you think should go on this spot. Okay, talk to you next time on News Monkey. Well, you better get looking for some more news then, hadn't you? Okay, that's it for show 23 from the Zip & Co. podcast from Weymouth here in Dorset. I'd like to thank everybody who's taken part, all the interviewees, and I hope you enjoy the Podsafe Music Network music I found for you. You'll find all the links to the music on my show notes. You can contact the show now on my comment line. The number is +44 1305 898 547. If you live in the UK, just add a 0, which is 01305 898 547. You can contact me on Facebook now. I have a Facebook presence. You can follow me on Twitter at Zipster. I have a LinkedIn account. I'm on MySpace. I'm on Instagram photo sharing, so if you're on that app, you can follow my photographs on there. I also have a free iPhone, Android, Windows 7 app that if you would like to have that on your cell phone, just send me an email at zipshow@gmail.com and I'll send you the link. You can also use this app on your computer browser. So that's fun. It's got my podcast feed, my YouTube Zip TV feed, Twitter feed, and lots of other stuff on there. So, I've been very busy over the time I've been away. So, what else? If you have anything for weird stuff... Oh, but by the way, I also have a weird stuff blog now. You'll find the link to that on my show notes by just scrolling down on the right-hand side. You'll see a list of links there. My blog is there. Also, my Fast Walker 1 Facebook page, which is to do with UFOs and strange things that are going on around us. If you have anything that you would like to contact me on, you can contact me on my email, my exclusive email, at zipshow, ZIPPSHOW, at gmail.com. All right, that's it for now. That's it for now. That's it for tonight and now. I shall talk to you soon on show 24. Take care and see you soon. Bye.
We must plan for tomorrow night.
Why? What are we going to do tomorrow night?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
The Zip & Co. podcast show is a media presentation by Zip Creators.